Good morning. I'd like to welcome everyone to our worship service this morning. Just a few announcements and then we'll open up with a word of prayer. The flower calendar is located on the wall in the hall. Please take the time to sign up to provide flowers for the sanctuary. This Saturday, March the 14th, from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. is our closed giveaway at the church. If anyone would like to assist in putting the items out, the church will be open this Thursday, March the 12th, so we can get that taken care of. Still have time. If you have any clothes or items, just bring them up here. It'll be fine just to put them in the church here or something. We'll find them if you have that. And there also are some flyers about the clothes giveaway on the table as you enter the sanctuary here. If you want to take some of them and hand them out or give them to some people or put them up somewhere, please do that. Just let us get the word out that it will be from 8 to 10 next Saturday. Sunday, March the 29th, is the Lord's Supper during the morning worship and fellowship lunch afterwards. Sunday, March the 29th, also at 6 p.m., we'll have worship in the original church, as we usually do on 5th Sunday. April the 1st through the 30th is Annie Armstrong Easter offering. Our goal, again, is $1,500. Be in prayer for that and give as the Lord leads you on that. Wednesday, April the 1st at 5:30 p.m. is our trunk and hunt at the church here. Please plan on attending that to celebrate Easter. And then please mark your calendars. Easter sunrise service is Sunday, April the 4th at 7 a.m. at Elbeth. Breakfast will be provided after the service there. So Easter Sunday, 7 a.m. at Elbeth is our Easter sunrise service. Any other announcements? If not, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful for the opportunity once again to come and worship our risen Savior, Jesus Christ, Lord. And Lord, I just pray for the services this morning, Lord. I pray that as we talked about in Sunday school, Lord, that it is a matter of the heart, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that our hearts are right this morning to bring all the glory and honor to Jesus Christ, Lord. And that's the reason we are here today, Lord, not for any other reason, Lord, not all these things, fellowship, that's very important. I know that, Lord, and showing that we love people and talking and visiting and all that is important, Lord. I know that, Lord, but we do come to a time, Lord, when it's all about you, and I just pray that that's what it is today. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Here.
If you can, please stand as we sing together, "I'd Rather Have Jesus." My favorite hymn.
I'd rather have Jesus than crowds on land. I'd rather
Hymn 187, In the Garden.
Thank you. Father, as we come to this portion of our worship service today, Lord, we just want to lift up this offering to you, Lord. Lord, I just pray, Lord, that we give from the heart, Lord, and we give to honor and glorify you, Lord. I just pray that Wigham Baptist Church will use the money wisely and sacrificially, Lord, to proclaim your word and proclaim your kingdom. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
To Joshua chapter 4, we want to thank Brother Tim, Brother Keith, other deacons for filling in for me last week. I hated not to be here, and as I was talking to some ladies this morning, it's like when you don't go to church on Sundays, you feel lost. You know, it's just such a part of your life, something you've done for so long, and when you're sick, you just can't be there. It's you don't know what to do with yourself. But anyhow, I do want to thank them for taking up my slack and filling in for me. I want to start this morning before we read our passage and answer a question. What do you intend to leave for your kids, your grandkids, for those who come after you? Wednesday night, we looked at what Paul had said when he knew his time here on earth was coming to an end. He said, I'm ready. You know, he was ready. He was ready to go. Can we say that same thing as believers? And I hope that is true for each one of us, that we can honestly say, I know I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. He is my Lord and Savior. I hope that is true, but at the flip side of that is, if we are children of God, we should want others to remember us in certain ways, and like I said, we talked about that Wednesday night, but today we're going to talk about a setting that happens in chapter 4, where God tells Joshua to take 12 stones from the place where the priest's feet stood firm as the nation of Israel crossed over the Jordan River at flood stage, where God cut off the waters, and they crossed over on dry land, and God told Joshua to take 12 stones from where the priest's feet stood firm and take them to the next town they were going to, is Gilgal, as we'll find out. But Joshua also has them take 12 stones and put them back in the river. Not the same 12 stones, but a different set of stones. And the purpose, as we will see, is for when the children come along after them to ask the question, what are these stones for? What do these stones mean to you? What in our lives are we leaving for our children, our grandkids, our great-grands, our friends, our families, our neighbors, our co-workers? Are there stones in our lives that people can look to and say, this is what this meant? I've said this before, but I'll say it again. The saddest thing on earth for me as a pastor is when somebody passes away and I go to meet with their family and talk to their loved ones, and I ask them, were they saved? And oftentimes, here's the words. Well, I went to church ever so often down so-and-so. I get that, but going to a church don't save you. Amen? It is a personal relationship with Jesus. And the sad thing is, if your family doesn't know you're saved, probably the truth is you're not, okay? We should be leaving memorial stones for our families, our friends, co-workers, everyone around us to look to and say, this was the purpose. This was their rock, so to speak. This is what you can bank on. And as we read this passage, I want us to follow through and realize God intends for us to always remember. If you go back and read through the Old Testament, you will see time and time and time again where God says, remember, remember, remember. And that should be the same thing in our lives, that we can point to different areas, different trials, different circumstances, and say, this is where I was, and this is what God did for me. This is what God brought me through. And so we can take the Old Testament, we can take the book of Joshua and read and say, you know, we might not be crossing the Jordan River, so to speak, but we all have Jordan Rivers we have to cross. Amen? But we have those trials, we have those steps of faith that we must place on the Lord and in the Lord to see us through. We need to leave those stones, because oftentimes we plan ahead, hopefully most of us, we plan that when we pass away, we're going to leave something to our kids. Some of us, we might leave guns, might leave fishing poles or a bass boat, or some of you ladies might have jewelry that you plan to pass down to your daughters or daughter-in-laws or whoever. And there's all these things that we place a lot of importance on, right? We think they're important, but a lot of times when our kids get them, guess what? They don't want them. You know? China used to be a big thing, not the country, but dishes, you know. I'll pass them down, you know, kids nowadays, they probably don't care about that kind of stuff. But what we hold dear to us is what we usually want to pass on. But what about us choosing to leave a godly heritage to those who come after us? That is what we should be focused on. I believe God wants us to leave a godly heritage for our children, a legacy for them to look to, and I have doubts about mom and dad's relationship with the Lord. Let's go ahead and read, and then we'll jump right in. Joshua chapter 4, verse 1 says, "And it came to pass when all the people had completely crossed over the Jordan, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one man from every tribe, and command them, saying, take for yourselves 12 stones from here out of the midst of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet stood firm. You shall carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where you lodge tonight. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the children of Israel, one man from every tribe. And Joshua said to them, "Cross over before the ark of the Lord your God in the midst of the Jordan. And each one of you take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel." And how many tribes were there? 12, right? "That this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, 'What do these stones mean to you?' Then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off from before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it crossed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be a memorial to the children of Israel." For how long? Forever. "And the children of Israel did so, just as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones from the midst of the Jordan, as the Lord had spoken to Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them to the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. Then Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priest who bore the Ark of the Covenant stood, and they are there to this day. So the priest who bore the Ark stood in the midst of the Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord had commanded Joshua, speaking to the people, according to all that Moses had commanded Joshua, and the people hurried and crossed over. Then it came to pass, when all the people had completely crossed over, that the ark of the Lord and the priest crossed over in the presence of the people. And the men of Reuben, the men of Gad, the half-tribe of Manasseh, crossed over, armed before the children of Israel, as Moses had spoken to them. About 40,000 prepared for war crossed over before the Lord, before the Lord for battle, to the plains of Jericho. On that day, the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him as they had feared Moses all the days of his life. Then the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, 'Command the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant, or Ark of Testimony, to come up from the Jordan.' Joshua therefore commanded the priests, saying, 'Come up from the Jordan.' And it came to pass, when the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord had come up from the midst of the Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet touched the dry land, that the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and overflowed all its banks as before. Now the people came up from the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and they camped in Gilgal on the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan, Joshua set up in Gilgal. Then he spoke to the children of Israel, saying, 'When your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, "What are these stones?" then you shall let the children know, saying, "Israel crossed over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we had crossed over, that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God." For how long? Forever. We pray with the Heavenly Father, as we have read this chapter. God, I pray that you just help us today to examine, Lord, everything we do, to question, is everything we leave for our children what you want us to leave for them? Lord, the money, the house, the land, the property, it's important. But Lord, the greatest thing we could leave behind for our kids and grandkids is a godly heritage, one where our children can go back to and say, "This is what God did in my mom and dad's life. This is what God did in my grandparents' life." And to always be taught, Lord, to fear you, because that's the greatest thing we could leave. Lord, lead us and guide us, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Point number one is the need for memorials. The United States of America, We have a Lincoln memorials, the Vietnam memorials. We have a lot of memorials. We have Mount Rushmore. We have all kinds of things to help us to remember. Somebody once said, if you forget the past, you are doomed to do what?
Repeat.
To repeat it. God didn't want the children of Israel going back to where they used to be. Okay? And the reality is, for a saved child of God, God doesn't want you going back where you used to be. Okay? And he's got a new plan, a new purpose for your life, and you need to trust him. But there should always be that stone in our life. One commentary I read said this: for everything important in our life, we need to place a stone. I don't know about y'all. When I was in college, we had one of our professors that encouraged us to keep a daily journal. I hate writing, okay? I hate writing, so I didn't do it. Because I'm thinking in my mind, I'm always going to remember. Anybody else like that? But as I get older, guess what happens? The more and more things I forget, details I forget, things that were very important at the time that God did in our lives personally and in our family's life, and the major things we can remember, but the day-to-day things that we, you know, at the time they were major, as you look back, you see that God brought you through them. Those are the details, those are the things that we often forget. We need to place a stone for the birth of our children, for our salvation, place a stone. For the times where God has led us through trials and difficulties and maybe loss of a loved one, maybe cancer that God brought us through, whatever. We need to put a stone there to say, hey, this is what I was going through. This is what God did. I've said this before, studying through Paul's letters. Every now and then, Paul used the words, but God. And that's something that stone needs to go there, because, but God. This is what was going on. This is what happened, but God did this. Place the stone there so that in time to come, we can go back and look at that stone and remember what God did. But then also our children, as they come along, because you might want to pass all your knowledge on to your kids, but guess what? It's not going to happen, right? But it shouldn't stop us from trying to leave a godly heritage for our kids so that they can later on in life, maybe when we're gone, they can go back and say, hey, I remember when. I remember mom and dad, they went through this, they went through that, and they struggled and God did something for them. They can go back, and that's what God intended for the nation of Israel to do. Because why else to just take 12 stones out of the river, right? Take them out. Take them to a place where you're going to spend the night. Take them up there and heap them up so that your children can ask you in time to come. It may not happen today, but it may be down the road that they can look back and see, hey, that's what these stones were there. And we have an opportunity to give our children a testimony. This is what I was going through, hardest day of my life, but God. I was going through financial difficulty, but God. Whatever it is in our lives, to place those stones there, to say, this is where I was, this is what God did. Because if we don't tell our kids what God has done for us, why do we come to church? Right? Why do we come? Why do we get dressed up? Time changed last night. If you're like me, I wanted to sleep in, amen? But you know what I kept doing? I kept looking every so often to make sure the clock changed, right? And make sure I went off, when it went off, the alarm went off, that it was the right, 5 o'clock this morning, instead of being 6 o'clock or 4 o'clock, if we don't share with them a personal testimony of what God's done, man, we're missing out. We're missing out on what God is allowing us to go through for His honor and glory, but we're missing out on the opportunity to teach our children. Those memorial stones should be there in our lives to leave a godly heritage to our children. They carried them over to a city named Gilgal. We'll talk about that tonight in chapter 5 and the purpose of all that. But God wanted Joshua to put those stones there for a reason. It wasn't just for the people, 12 men, one from each tribe to have something to do. They had plenty to do. They had to get everybody across that river, right? God dried it up, but you still got a lot of work when you're moving, amen? You got a lot of stuff to carry. You got a lot of things to do. You got a lot of people to look out for. And so God had a purpose in it. And it's a purpose that I believe still holds true today in our lives. If you look back at verse 24, can we back that up and look again and read that? Because it's the whole purpose of that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. This wasn't supposed to be just an occasion thing. It had a purpose. It was so that people would know and fear the Lord forever. Not just one generation, right? It was to be remembered time and time again. We know that at the crossing here, it was that flood stage, and we talked about that week before last. How in chapter 3, verse 15, it talked about how the River Jordan was at flood stage during the harvest. This was the time of harvest. This was flood stage, where most scholars believe that the Jordan River was at least a mile wide. Other times it was only about 100 yards wide. But God wanted them to cross over, to remember what God had done for them. But I want us to realize here again, they're claiming as days read through, there are two sets of stones. First set, God said, take the stones from the river. Bear them on your shoulders to the place where you're going to spend the night. But then Joshua tells 12 men to take 12 stones and placed back in a river where the priest's feet stood firm. You say, why would Joshua do that? How many of you pass by a house every day and you look at it and you just don't see anything different? You just go by day after day, and pretty soon you don't even notice it anymore. We get complacent. And you know that's true with spirituality as well. We get complacent. And so if the children of Israel had gone to Gilgal and every day those same 12 stones were there, mounded up or however they had them stacked, we don't know. But they placed them over there. And Joshua did what God told them to do. The people did what God told them to do. But if you see the same thing day after day after day, get where you don't notice it. But there's a different plan, I believe, this is my personal belief. These 12 stones that Joshua had these men take and place back in the river where the priest's feet stood firm was because the Jordan River was not always at flood stage. And so there was going to be times when the water level dropped down, and guess what would show up? 12 stones. How they had them arranged, I don't know, but it said 12 where the priest's feet stood firm. So they were there in an orderly fashion, I would guess. I'm not sure. But at times, the river dries up, you wouldn't see them. When the river started dropping back, it's like an old pier that's on the riverbank. When the river's at flood stage, you don't even notice it because it's covered up. But when the river water level drops down, you see those posts sticking up out of water, you realize that there used to be something there. And God and Joshua wanted the people to go back and always be reminded of what God had done for them. So there's a need for memorials. But as I mentioned earlier, memorials are important to help us remember. Because the reality is, when we forget, bad things happen. Bad things happen when we forget. When we forget what we've gone through, why we went through, why God allowed us to go through that. And sometimes God doesn't reveal everything about why He lets us go through these times. But He has a plan and purpose in it. And so bad things can happen when we forget. And God may have to allow us to go back through something again to get our attention. When you look at all that God did for the nation of Israel, okay? He brought them in, 70 people, I believe. I didn't go back and read. I believe there was about 70 people that entered into Egypt, right? And then they spent 430 years in captivity in Egypt. And then God sends all these plagues, and the nation of Israel witnesses the power of God, and God bringing them out of the land of Egypt, and taking them out into the wilderness of the Red Sea, and he parts the Red Sea. They walk across on dry ground. God drowns the Egyptian army in the river, or in the Red Sea. That they're crossed over, the pillar of fire by day and the cloud by night. God leads them, He feeds them manna, He gives them quail, He gives them water to drink. He does all these things for them. Clothes never wear out, their sandals never wear out. They're good to go. God provides, takes care of them. They had seen this day after day after day. But then when you get to Judges chapter 2, verse 10, I want you to see what this says. It says, when all that generation had gathered to the father, this was the generation of Joshua then, okay? When all that generation had gathered to their fathers, another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord nor the work which He had done for Israel. Let me be clear on this. If you were to go around Wiggum, K-Ray, Dangers, wherever, Carmax, neighboring towns, cities, and ask people had they ever heard about God, what would they say? Probably say, yeah. If you ask them about Jesus, had they ever heard about Jesus, what would they say? Yeah, we celebrate Him on Christmas, right? But just because they know God's name and they know Jesus, does that mean that they know God and know Jesus? You see, there's a big difference between knowing and hearing of God, but there's a big difference in personally knowing Him. You see, I'm sure that moms and dads probably told the kids about God and what God had done for them. But hear me out on this and hear my heart. There's a big difference in saying I know God and I know Jesus between knowing and living it out. Amen? This morning, our Sunday school lesson, Jesus called the Pharisees and the scribes hypocrites. What's a hypocrite? A hypocrite says one thing and does another. Okay? They may look a certain way, they may talk a certain way while they're at church, and they get home and act something totally different. I believe personally, and the scripture doesn't just tell us exactly why, but how do we go from Joshua to Judges? Remember, Judges, next book after Joshua, right? How do we go from what God did for the nation of Israel in Joshua to Judges chapter 2? We find a whole generation after the first generation entered in. Once they had been gathered to the fathers, they'd gone to be with the Lord. Now they have a generation who do not know the Lord. They do not have an intimate relationship with God Himself. Yeah, they may go through the motions. They may go to church, right, the temple. They may sing the songs, but As our lesson said, their lips honor me, but their hearts what? Far from me. You know, we can be guilty of the same thing. In America today, I would say we live in the greatest nation that has ever been. Amen. Greatest country in the world. God has truly blessed America. But can I say that we have a generation today who does not know the Lord? Oh, yeah, they might hear about him from time to time. But how do they see it lived out in our lives? What is the result? Okay, if God's so great, what's he done for you? Have we told our kids, have we showed our kids what God has done for us? Have we left them memorial stones for them to come along and say, this is what God did. This is the power of God. I want to believe in God. I want to trust Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior because I've seen what mom and dad, what God did in their lives. I saw what Jesus did for them. Because can I say, if there's no change, there's probably no salvation. Bad things happen when we forget what God has done. We need to show our children, not just tell them. We need to be the example that they can follow behind. Say, you know, I've got a picture in my office, and have Shane when he was, I don't know how old, maybe 16 months or so, maybe about the same time Shane was born, but I was building tree stands out in the yard, and I had a drill motor and everything out there and put the plywood on the stand before I painted it and all. And anyhow, everything I did, guess what Shane did? If I put a hammer down, he picked up his little hammer, you know? And if it was a screwdriver, if I was using a screwdriver, he'd get his little plastic screwdriver, you know? Everything I did, he'd want to do. Are we leaving that same example for our kids that say, look, I didn't just talk about it on Sundays. I lived it out. Can they follow in our shoes, so to speak, and say, this is how mom and dad worship God? Because I'm telling you, if you don't worship God the way you should, your children won't either. If you're not in church, how do you expect your kids to be in church? If you're not modeling that same example for them, showing them memorial stones, hey, you know, and I realize that you can say, well, you can go to church every Sunday, every time the doors are open, bust hell out of it. I get that. But the reality is, if I'm not modeling my faith in Jesus Christ and God the Father, then I am not leaving the stones, the memorial stones for them to go back and ask, what does this mean? You see, these stones Joshua put, I believe, was to keep the nation of Israel from growing complacent. Because I'll ask you a question, are we complacent in our worship of God? Are we complacent? Is it important enough that it changes who we are, what we do, what we long for? That David said, listen, I was glad when they said, let's go to the house of the Lord. I was glad. It shouldn't be, well, it's Sunday, we gotta go to church again. Man, we should be joyful when we come into the house of the Lord to worship our Lord and Savior. Point number three, we need memorials in our lives to instill our values and our beliefs. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he was old, he will not what? Now let me clear this up. Proverbs are based on a lot of precepts. Okay, there are promises in Proverbs. Because I get it, you can do everything right as a parent and your kid's not following those steps. I get it. Every child at some point in their life, when they've reached a certain age, they've got to decide for themselves if they believe and have the faith that their mom and dads have, right? You can do all you can do. You can be best Christian parent on earth. But most likely, the precept is if I train up a child in the way he should go, when he's old, he shall not depart. It doesn't say that in between time he's not going to wander or fall off track. But if my faith is true, and my children see that my faith is true, and that I'm striving to follow in God's paths and do His will for my life, then they're going to see, and hopefully they're going to see that that was real. Okay? It wasn't fake. It wasn't show. It was true. And hopefully, when I train them right, when they get old, they'll not depart from it. That they're going to follow along those footsteps. They're going to look at those memorial stones, and they're going to see that this is the best route for them. Have faith in the Lord. I want my children not just to have a head knowledge of God. I don't want them just to know the song "Jesus Loves Me." Okay? I want them to know in their heart of hearts that God is the right way, that Jesus is the only way. And I need to trust Him and ask Him to forgive me and save me from my sins. You see, we all need to be leaving memorial stones for our children. Deuteronomy chapter 6 tells us this. Says, "You shall love the Lord your God with half of your heart." Only on Sunday. It says you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. You know, if you do those three things, you won't have to worry if you're on the right path. Love God first. Love Him with all your soul, with all our strength. Everything we do, do for Him. "And these words which I command you today shall be where?" You know, not just in your head, but in your heart. "You shall teach them how to your kids?" Diligent. What does diligently mean? With everything we are, with everything we have, teaching diligently to your children, "and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates." Listen. If the only time you talk about God to your kids is on Sundays, you've missed it big time. If you only tell them about what God has done every now and then, because the Bible is clear, we are to teach them. And can I tell you, as a parent with grown kids, teaching never stops. We have an opportunity each and every day, maybe not to all the kids. Yeah, we got three. But sometimes I'll talk to one or two of them two or three times a week. Some I won't talk at all to, but then there's those times when they'll call me up, you know, and it's an opportunity. Maybe they're going through something, you know, and I try my best to guide them as a father, as a parent, but most importantly, not as a preacher, amen, but as a God-fearing person, that this is the best path for you. You've got to pray that. You've got to trust God. Seek out His word. I'll quote verses to you. But my intent is for them to say, "Listen, Daddy, what do I do?" "Well, just do the best you can." That's not what I want to tell them. You know, well, you'll figure it out. I want to guide them. I want them to say, "Listen, this is what I went through, and this is what God did." What are we leaving our kids? Johnny Hunt told me one time, he said, you're never too old to do the right thing. Can I tell you, first and foremost, you cannot leave a godly heritage or a godly legacy to your family, your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, if you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. First and foremost, if you're not saved, trust Jesus Christ today as your Lord and Savior. If you are saved, ask yourself the question, what memorial stones am I leaving for my kids? Some of us would say, Brother Tim, I messed up. Can I say there's forgiveness in God? There's forgiveness in Christ. But the key to that is to admit it. Confess those sins to the Lord, ask for forgiveness, but then make a point to strive to say, okay, I can't change yesterday, right? But I can change today and I can change tomorrow with God's help. I want to do things God's way. I want to be able to leave my kids something that they can go back to and say, it was true, it was real. I didn't just hear about it, I saw it lived out in my parents' lives. The greatest thing we can leave our kids is not money. It's not property. It's not things that we can say that these are important to us. I get it. But that's not the most important thing you can leave to your kid. The most important thing you can leave to your kid is for them to say, listen, I know it. I've seen it. I've lived it. I've seen what they went through. I've seen what God did. And I believe. Let's not be content with raising up another generation that does not know the Lord. Let's leave a legacy for our children to follow. Will you stand with me? Heavenly Father, as we close today, Lord, we're thankful for the examples that your word contains. Lord, help us, first and foremost, to make sure that our faith is in Jesus Christ, Him alone, for our salvation. Lord, that we can't look back to anything else to say this is where my life has changed. Lord, may it be a day that we can recognize and say, this is when I gave my heart and life to Jesus Christ, and this is what He has done for me ever since. Lord, you're faithful, you're true. But Lord, we often, even those of us who are saved, Lord, we often get sidetracked with things that the world wants us to believe are important. We get sidetracked away from leaving the most important heritage we can leave, and that is for those memorial stones, Lord, that our children can come and look to and see that it wasn't just something that was there that was said, but that it was true. And they are witness of it because of what you've done in us. Lord, if we messed up in the past, God, I pray for forgiveness. I pray, God, that today we would resolve to begin anew, Lord, to begin leaving those memorial stones for our own families, friends, neighbors. Lord, that you may be glorified. Lord, that you may gain all the credit for it, not because of what we did, but because of what you've done in our lives. Lord, however you want us to respond, I pray, Lord, for obedience to your will. But Lord, I realize, Lord, we should all be asking today for you to help us leave those markers, those memorials in our lives for our families that are the right ones for them to witness and see. Lord, lead us and guide us as only you can. I pray in Jesus' name.